Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Meat Trapper Radio. I think we've got a good show in line for you this evening. I know that I'm in a vigorous and fired up mood. I'm in a take no prisoners, come home with a belt full of scalps kind of mood, based on what's been going on lately, and basically a no compromise mood. And when it comes to no compromise, I think most of you who are familiar with my channel know that I'm a snareman. And I love snaring. Snares are lightweight, they're compact, they don't spook game. They keep working when weather conditions are muddy or snowy or icy and that sort of thing. And I'm just big on snares. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I'm doing for next season is I am going overwhelmingly, predominantly, for snares only. I'm only going to use conibears or footholds when I have a situation that calls for it. Otherwise, I'm simply going whole hog into snares. Now, I recently have been replenishing my snare supply because this is the time of the year that you want to regroup and refurbish and resupply. And when it comes to no compromise, that especially extends for me to snares and snare cable and snare parts. Because if you have crappy cable, you're going to have crappy snares, and they're not going to work properly. Now, what's interesting is I recently was going through my inventory of snare parts, and I was looking at my double ferrules, my stop buttons, and what do I need to order and how much and all of that. And what was shocking was when I started looking through my supplies, I noticed that even my aluminum stop buttons varied depending upon who I ordered them from. Now, one supplier, my stop buttons were just, looked like an extruded tube with a hole in it that was just chopped off. And each of the surfaces were flat. And it was pretty crappy as far as the quality. It was hit and miss as far as whether I could get a cable into one and not the next and all of that. So when it comes to quality snare parts, it's not only just the cable, but it's everything else that goes into it as well. And when it comes to no compromise on that stuff, I recommend SouthernSnares.com. You can order from Brian with total confidence, and if you have questions about his merchandise or questions about what you need, just give him a call. Just call him up and tell him who you are, what you're looking at, and what you're thinking, and bounce it off of him. He'll be happy to talk to you. You can just check him out at southernsnares.com, and I recommend them 100%. And I'll probably be doing a video soon, maybe another month or so. But I was just doing some snare dipping yesterday, and it's funny, I always end up dipping myself more brown than my snares, but I was using the Formula One snare dip, which is what I use, and I love that stuff, and I'll have some interesting video and shots and show you the results and all of that as time permits. But anyway, we're going to talk about a number of things tonight. We're going to do a brief review of some of the things in the news, not very much. We're going to talk about some gardening stuff, and the main topic tonight, and this is a fascinating topic, and it's one that I have never heard anyone else address or talk about, and it's basically why liberals love China and hate Russia. So before I get off into that, because once I get off into that, there's no telling how long I'll be on it. I don't mean to dwell, when it comes to the news, I don't mean to dwell on the Florida school shooting, but it's just, with each passing day, it becomes, the outrage just grows within me, because, we had talked about how there was an armed sheriff's deputy on campus, and he refused to enter the building, and, he was labeled a coward, and then he was allowed to retire with full benefits and all of that. Well, he, had come out and said, I'm not a coward. I was following orders, and I was following departmental procedure and all of that. Well, come to find out, they were given a stand-down order. They were given an order. He was given an order to form a perimeter and to hold his position. And the person who gave that order is a female Broward County Sheriff's Captain. And if you look at her, if you look at her picture, it's pretty obvious that this woman pursues what we should politically correctly call an alternative lifestyle. And you see, this is the woman who gave the order to not enter the school, to stand down and form a perimeter. She's still on the job. Yes, she's still on the job. You know, last week I talked about how the Broward County Sheriff's Department had a sheriff's deputy that was going in and conducting training in mosques, and how he was a member of CARE, the Islamic group that has been linked to Hamas. And now we have the captain giving the order to stand down and to not to engage the shooter. Now here's the topic that I wanted to bring up. When the call went out over the radio that there was an active shooter in the school killing kids, there were three SWAT members from a neighboring jurisdiction who happened to be close by. These three SWAT guys were from Miramar Beach. Now, that the school wasn't in their jurisdiction, but they were close by, and they responded immediately. They dropped what they were doing, headed there. They immediately entered the school and searched for the shooter. They have been suspended from their job. Yeah. They have been suspended from their job because they weren't ordered to go in. You see, that's what's wrong with our society. That's what's wrong with this country, is the guy who did what he was told, stood by, twiddled his thumbs, and let those kids die, he gets to retire with a lifetime pension and never has to work again in a day in his life. And we're going to pay his bills for the rest of his life. And the three guys that dropped what they were doing and rushed in, they get suspended and their career's ruined. What a bunch of crap. But you know, that's a heavily liberal area down there, and that's the kind of mentality they have. So screw them, to hell with them. You know, that may sound cold-hearted, but those kids died because of the liberal bullshit mentality that is infesting that place down there. And I don't care what anybody says or thinks about that. That's the truth. So yeah, I'm fired up. I'm pissed off. I'm standing on the bank of a river, and it's swollen with floodwaters, and I'm watching logs and stuff get swept downstream. And you know, it's like we need a massive flood to come sweep our trash away. And that's how I'm feeling today, and I make no apologies for it. Just amazing, you know. But as I say, we want to educate ourselves and distance ourselves from the system and make ourselves as independent as possible. And not only is it the time of the year to take stock of your trapping supplies and reorder and make your plan for next year while the lessons of this year are still fresh, it's also getting time to put a garden in the ground, to grow some of your own food. And everybody has different circumstances. Some people are, you know, growing container gardens on a small back patio. And I've got a friend who lives in Nashville, and it's amazing what he pulls out of his little container garden and his little raised beds and stuff in his patio. And I bet you it's not 15 feet by 15 feet. But, and then there are other people that, you know, when it's time to put the garden in, they get the tractor out. So everybody is in a different position, but we can all do something. Now, I'm not an expert gardener by any means, not at all. My take on gardening and my advice when it comes to gardening is I'm going to pass on some stuff that's worked for me, just very briefly, because if I can't kill it, anybody can grow it, because I'm not an expert gardener. I'm an expert plant killer. I don't have the green thumb. I've got the green touch of death, to where if I touch a plant, it's going down. I mean, it's, if with me, It's if the heat doesn't get it, if the bugs don't get it, something's going to get my garden. Okay. But there are a few things that year after year I've been able to grow consistently. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a fussy gardener. I'm a haphazard gardener. If I trapped the way I garden, I would starve. Okay. And I live in the deep south, so keep that in mind. You know, people that are up in Canada that are listening to this or up in Maine, this may not really be applicable to you. But I'm only going to share what I know personally firsthand for a fact. And one of the most prolific items that I have ever grown, and I grow it every year, I like peas. As a southerner, you know, eat your peas, right? Your black-eyed peas and cornbread and all of that. But I love Crowder peas, and there's a particular variety that I can grow, and I don't care if I'm growing it in straw bales, I don't care if I'm growing it in the dirt or what. This stuff sprouts, grows, it grows wild, it takes over, you can't kill it, it's drought resistant, the bugs don't seem to get into it. The only thing that gets this stuff is deer, and the deer will annihilate it if you let them. And this particular pea is called the Mississippi Red Ripper. And you can get it from, Baker Seed Company or Heirloom Seeds or whatever it is. But you look up Mississippi Red Ripper cowpea. And if you live in a hot climate, you put that stuff in the ground, you stand back. And what I do is I'm lazy. I don't pick them fresh. I let them grow and I let them dry on the husk. And then I just go out there and shell them, you know, pick them off and shell them when they're good and dry. And they require no care and they produce like nothing I've ever grown. I've tried other varieties, you know, I've tried other types of peas and I have never had anything explode like Mississippi Red Rippers. Check them out if you're into peas or cow peas at all. So that's tip number one. And the other thing is living in the deep south, you know, lettuce is not something that we grow a lot down here. We grow greens in the wintertime, okay? There's a very short shoulder season that I can actually grow lettuce and Swiss chard and things like that. But there is a plant that grows all year. And once again, it is one of these invasive species that just takes over and produces more than you can eat. And that is Malabar spinach. That's M-A-L-A-B-A-R, Malabar spinach. Now, the catch, and there's always a catch with stuff, when you're trying to grow lettuce greens in the 100-degree heat, this stuff grows like gangbusters, but it's not the light, crisp lettuce, leaf-type lettuce that you would buy, you know, at the store. It's more of a thick leaf. It's thick enough to where if you let it grow large, you can use it as like a sandwich wrap or a roll-up. It's that thick and durable. But it does grow all through the summer, and it's a vining plant. Grows up. It grows up whatever trellis you have or whatever. And the thing is, this thing will produce millions of seeds. I mean, it's amazing. The seeds. And so if you put this stuff somewhere, there's a very good chance that it's going to come back year after year after year, whether you want it to or not. It's that prolific. So the Mississippi Red Ripper cowpeas, the Malabar spinach, those two are always staples. And then the third thing that I always grow, and it's not something that is as robust or durable or anything like that, like the ones I mentioned. But when it comes to tomatoes, the Cherokee Purple just rules the roost for me. When you grow Cherokee Purple tomatoes and you slice one open and you sprinkle a little sea salt on it, a store-bought tomato is just flavorless after you had that. That's just me. But growing purple tomatoes, you know, they will split open in the heat. I've had people tell me to reduce the amount of water that that I allow them to get. That overwatering can cause the splitting. I'm not exactly sure what all goes into that, but that's something that I'm going to keep in mind this year. But those purple tomatoes, man, the Cherokee purple, if you've never had one, give them a try. I think when it comes to flavor, taste, once you have that, it's like eating wild game compared to, you know, a crystal hamburger. You know, there's no comparison. If you take a, you know, a half pound beaver burger that you've done yourself and you put it up next to a crystal, yeah, that's to me, that's the same comparison of a store-bought tomato to a Cherokee purple. So if any of you out there have any gardening tips or any plants that you'd like to share that are prolific, easy to grow, good sources of food, let me know, and I'll pass them on to everybody. Let's share the wealth here. MeatTrapper@gmail.com. I'll try and respond as timely as I can. I'm behind on emails right now, and so tonight I'm going to be sitting down and waiting through them and responding. So now, the main topic tonight, and this is something that I've never heard anybody address, I've never heard anybody talk about, and it, the more you think about this, and I want you to really think about this, and I want you to really think back over the last year, and I want you to watch the news going forward, because it really is stunning, and I think I understand why, and that is, why do liberals hate Russia and love China? Now, if you don't think that's a true summary or a fair statement, I want you to think about all of the stuff that's been going on with the Trump-Russia collusion. You know, we've got a special counsel, and Robert Mueller has indicted, you know, what was it, 13 Russians that are not in the country and will never be brought to justice. But he's indicted them, by God, because their crime was they impersonated Americans and they put ads on Facebook that were against Hillary. And they did it. And here's the funny thing. The Russians that bought these Facebook ads targeting Hillary, some of the ads were pro-Trump. But you know what? Some of the ads were pro-Bernie. And you don't hear about that. You only hear about the Trump ads, not the Bernie ads. But anyway, you know, chalk that up to the hypocrisy of the lying liberal media. But if you'll notice, the big boogeyman, according to the mainstream media, is Vladimir Putin. He's the big boogeyman that hacked into the election and, you know, colluded and did, and he got into Hillary's emails and he did all of this stuff, you know. Now, everybody knows that the Chinese are just as big, if not bigger, hackers than the Russians. But yet there's been no mention of the Chinese hacking anything or anybody, has there? Interesting. There's been no mention of Chinese people buying ads on Facebook. There's been no mention of Chinese anything. Only Russia, only Putin. Never China. No matter what China does, no matter what weapons China unveils, never a mention of China, only Russia. And the reason is very simple, and that's because the liberals in this country admire China and want to emulate the Chinese system. And they hate Russia. And here's why. You see, Russia is not a communist nation. Russia is a nation that is ruled by political oligarchs. Okay, now what an oligarch is, basically a rich guy, okay, whether he owns a company or whether he got his money as a criminal or whatever, he's a rich guy, and he uses his wealth to control political stuff. That's an oligarch, okay? You'll see when you go to small town USA, you come down south and you have these little bitty towns and you'll have one or two or three rich guys that really run everything. The judges, the cops aren't going to arrest them. You know, if the rich guy's kid gets pulled over after a party and he's been drinking and he's a little bit over the limit, they're not going to arrest the kid. They're going to, you know, make sure he gets home okay because his daddy is the big guy, the big man in town, you know. And then if the case goes to court, you know, there's going to be the lawyers are going to fix everything. That's an oligarch. And we have that here. But we have it on a smaller scale. Now, in Russia, it's on a much larger scale. You have people that are billionaires, like Putin and other people in his circle, and they control the natural gas, they control the coal mining, and they control the political system. Now, in Russia, here's the deal. As long as you're not threatening the status quo, as long as you're not agitating against those who are running things, you can do pretty much any damn thing you want. In Russia, you don't have people, you don't have the Russian government micromanaging your insurance and your health care and every other aspect of your life. In Russia, if you don't believe me, get on YouTube and start looking up Russian hunting videos and Russian trapping videos and all of that and look at these guys. One of the great channels out there is called Survival Russia. And I urge every one of you to subscribe to Survival Russia. Because you see, the guy that runs the channel, his name is Lars. He was born in Denmark, and he grew up in Denmark, in Western Europe. He joined the Danish army. He was one of these guys. He was, you know, masculine, tough guy, joined the army. And he moved to Siberia and married a Russian woman, and that's where he lives. He lives in a little homestead out in the backwoods of Russia. And he specializes in making videos on bushcraft and survival and military surplus and all of that's a fascinating channel because of, you know, these guys have very little money and they do so much more than we do. And we have all these, you know, expensive gear and all of that. But what you'll notice about Lars is when he goes out in the woods to make a video, he picks up an AK-47, slings it over his shoulder, loads a couple of mags and off he goes. You don't do that in China. And the Chinese government, unlike the Russian government, gets involved in every aspect of your life. They micromanage every aspect. You remember their one child policy? They're telling you how many kids you can have in China. Russia, Putin came out and said, hey, we need more population. We need to boost the birth rate in this country. You know, we need to be productive in this country. He's not telling you that you have to, whereas the Chinese are telling you, you can't have more than one kid. You see, the Chinese are micromanaging every aspect of your life. They have the great firewall of China. You see, the Chinese government controls all the internet traffic coming in and out of the country. And they censor the internet very heavily. And people like Google and Facebook, you know what they do? They go right along with it because they want a piece of the Chinese market. And so they gladly embrace censorship as imposed by the Chinese Communist government. Of course, Google is busy engaging in censorship right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, right? Yeah, they are. Now, another difference between the Chinese and the Russians, in Russia, those people are Christian. And I'm talking about the Russian people, not the republics, you know, in Mongolia and all of that. But the Russian people, they're Christian people, the Russian Orthodox Church. And you see, the oligarchs over there, Putin, has stood up and defended the Russian church. When a bunch of feminist protesters busted into a Russian church and stripped down topless and started screaming obscenities in church, they got their butts thrown in jail. They got thrown in prison. Now you go to China, you're not allowed to go to church. Everything is controlled. It has to be approved. Are you starting to see why the liberals love China and hate Russia? Because you see, the liberals in this country, they don't want you to have freedom and independence. They don't want you to be able to pick up an AK-47, throw it over your shoulder, and go off into the woods as long as you mind your own business and don't hurt anybody. They want that controlled. They hate the church. They hate God. Look at Hollywood. Everything in Hollywood, everything on the mass media, it's about as far from being Christian as you can get. And they deliberately do it. Look at the ACLU. Look at all of the liberal lawsuit groups that every time there's a prayer at a high school football game, somebody sues them. How dare you say a prayer? You know what? You can go to Russia and you can have a soccer game and you can say a prayer. You're not going to get sued. You will here, not there. And you just try it in China and see what happens. Now, let's move a little deeper into the subject. This is something that not many people are aware of, but Clint actually suggested that I touch on it. And the more I thought about it, the more I think it's a notable and worthy point to make. That is, the Chinese government recently rolled out an experimental plan, and they implemented it on in certain test areas, test markets. And what it was a social media score that was assigned to the citizen, to the individual citizen. And your social media score determined what you were allowed and not allowed to do. Now think about that. Think about this. The Chinese government is monitoring everything that a citizen posts on Facebook or on what they call WeChat. They have all their own programs. You know, it's the same thing. They have Weibo and WeChat and all of this kind of stuff. But it's the same thing. Twitter's, you know, Chinese Twitter and all of that. But what they do is they figure out who's posting what and is it pro or anti-government. And if you post pro-government stuff, you get points added to your score. And if you post anti-government stuff, you have points taken away from your score. But that's not all. It doesn't just extend to there. They monitor whether or not you pay your bills. If you get late on paying your bills, your score gets dinged. If you're timely and current on your bills, your score goes up. And it extends to a broad array of categories. And what the Chinese government labeled this is your societal trust score. In other words, how trustworthy are you? How dependable are you? How much of a good model citizen are you? And so, do you have a job? Do you pay your bills? Do you support popular policies online? Do you cheerleader for the government? Do you rah-rah the policies? If you do, you're a good citizen. And you're allowed to do a lot of things. You're given financing to start a business. If you're a model citizen, they would allow you to borrow money and start a business. Relatively interest-free. You can travel abroad. You can get a passport. You can do all kinds of things. You get better rates if you do borrow money on things. You qualify. There are a lot of things in China that are hard to get, like a car. And so there's waiting list on a lot of appliances and stuff. And you can go to the top of the waiting list if you're a responsible, trustworthy, dependable citizen. But you see, if you're not, if you don't go along with the status quo, if you dare dissent on anything, well, then you're not going to ever be able to get a good job. You're not ever going to be able to get a car. You're going to go to the bottom of the list. And then when you get close, they'll put you back at the bottom again. You're certainly never going to get a passport and travel outside of the country. No, 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 no. It's sort of like the North Korean system, where everybody marches in lockstep and everybody loves dear leader, and they cry when he gets sick, and they scream and cheer when they see a picture of him. It's very effective. Now think about what's been going on with YouTube and all the channels that have gotten pulled, the videos that get age restricted and demonetized. You see, it's the same thing, just on a smaller scale. Because YouTube is sending the signal, hey, meat trapper, as long as you make cooking videos, you'll do okay. There won't be any problems. But if you step out of line and start showing how to butcher a turtle, oh well, we're gonna have to ding you for that. It's coercion. Pure and simple. The difference is that here in America, we're armed, and I don't have a problem saying, screw you. You don't like it? Come do something about it. It's that simple. Because you see, we're not an anthill society like the Chinese. We're a society of men, of individuals. And if you'll get to know some of the people in the backwoods of Russia, you'll be shocked at how closely they resemble us. It's incredible to watch some of these videos. And the only difference that I can spot is that we're speaking a different language and we have more money than they do. Better gear. It's that simple. And so you see, that's why the liberals hate Russia and love China. Because the liberals are not, what the liberals are about is control. Control. Control of everything. They want to control what you put on Twitter. They want to control the videos you put on YouTube. They want to control the healthcare system. They want to control how many pills of this you get per month. They want to control how much it costs. They want to control what kind of guns you're allowed to have. They want to control what kind of car you're allowed to drive. They want to control, control, control. And that's exactly what the Chinese are all about, the Chinese government. Control of every aspect of your life. And you see, a freedom-loving American who values personal responsibility has far more in common with a Russian in the backwoods of Russia than they do a liberal in New York City. Now, we still have the vote, whereas the Russians have a vote, but, you know, people will say, well, their candidates are handpicked. up until Mr. Trump, guess what our candidates were? Handpicked. You see, the more you look at it, the less difference there really is between the Russian oligarchs and the American oligarchs. Now, another thing I want to bring up is voting. Because for far too long, our voting system has been a sham to where, you know, it hasn't really mattered who you vote for. You know, us conservatives have voted for Republicans year after year after year, and they get up there and they turn coward and they have no spine and they're jellyfish, and they turn out to be just like the Democrats. And it took a long time, but we finally figured out there were just two sides of the same coin. What's the difference between Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi? You know, Paul Ryan is the biggest sack of crap coward I can't stand to look at the man. I cannot stand to look at him. He's just a piece of garbage as far as I'm concerned. And then you got Lindsey Graham. What a piece of crap. Give me a break. You know, I don't even have to talk about the fact that he has a boyfriend and he's never been married. I don't, you know, whatever. Just give me a break. And then Mitch McConnell. Give me a break. What a bunch of cowards. John McCain. You know, everybody talks about what a big narcissist Donald Trump is, and he is. But you know what? John McCain is just as big a narcissist as Donald Trump ever was. I can't wait till the man is gone. I despise him. I really do. And I know he was a POW in Vietnam. And that's fine. I understand that. But you know what? After living through that and after experiencing that, you would think he would come home with a more profound sense of right and wrong. But somewhere along the way, he lost that. To hell with him. To hell with John McCain. I could care less about him. You know, that's how I feel. They're all useless. And so why do we keep sending them up there? Well, you know what? There isn't any alternative. Because every time there's an election, here's the problem. Every time there's an election and there's somebody like a Mitch McConnell on the ballot, well, the other person for a conservative is even worse. So what do? We vote the lesser of two evils. And this is always a big argument on the internet. You know, lesser of two evils is still an evil. You know, we need to stop voting or, you know, whatever. Well, the real problem is that the system is so controlled. You have A and B, and you don't like either one. So most of the time, you're voting to keep the other guy out. And that's whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you may not like the Democrat. In other words, the Bernie bros, they didn't really like Hillary, but they hated Trump. So they voted against Trump by voting for Hillary. And people that didn't really like Trump, well, they hated Hillary, so they voted for Trump to keep Hillary out because she was the worst choice. So what if you had a different type of voting? And hear me out on this. What if you had the ability to have five or six candidates on the final ballot? So let's say this last election, okay, and I'm just going to make people up, not whatever. I'm just pulling names out of a hat. But let's say you had, and it doesn't matter what the party is. Throw party out the window. Let's say you had Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Ted Cruz. Let's just say those four, okay, just to make it easy. But let's say you have, you know, you could have five, six, whatever. When you go into the ballot box, you don't choose one guy. You get two choices. You get first choice and second choice. Because you see, the problem is everybody says, well, you can't vote third party because not enough people are going to do it, and you're throwing your vote away. Well, if you got two choices, first choice and second choice, what you could do is you could go in, and let's put a libertarian sort of guy, Rand Paul, on there. What I could do is I could go into the ballot box and I could say my first choice is Rand Paul. My second choice is Donald Trump. Okay, just making up names. When the votes get counted, they tabulate all of the first choice votes. And if your guy that you voted for first, if he has enough votes to win, he's the winner. But if he doesn't, they roll those votes over to the second choice and see if he has enough votes to win. What this would allow, it would allow you to walk into the ballot box and vote your conscience first and then have a fallback second vote to where after voting your conscience, if your guy didn't win, then you could throw your vote to the popular candidate. That would revolutionize voting in this country. Because you could have five or six people on the ballot of any party, independent, libertarian, Republican, Democrat, communist, green. You could have any party that you wanted on there. And you could legitimately walk in and vote your conscience. And that way people, if there were enough people that wanted a third party candidate, they could safely vote third party without throwing their vote away. Because if the third party guy doesn't win, then their vote goes to the second choice. This is very easy to do. But it will never happen because the oligarchs don't want it to happen because the current system benefits them. You know how we got to hate the Russian oligarchs? We have to sanction the Russian oligarchs? We've got the same crap here in this country. The American oligarchs. You always hear about the Communist Party being able to dictate, you know, under the KGB all the way down to the local level. What do you think the Republican and Democrat parties do all the way down to the local level? It's the same crap. You know? Same crap. So the next time, if you're ever out there talking to a liberal and they start talking about Russia, this and that and the other, don't argue with them. Just ask them about China. See what they say. Because just recently, there have been op-eds published in these liberal newspapers where they're openly praising the Chinese. Because recently, the Chinese president over there, what was his name, Xi Jinping, he got it maneuvered around and passed where he can now become president for life. You know, and Trump joked about it. He loves to push people's buttons, and he said, "Yeah, maybe I ought to try that president for life." Of course, everybody's, you know, their head exploded and everything because Trump said it. But they didn't. You never heard a peep of protest about the Chinese doing it. Not a peep. Not one peep. And the editorials that appeared after that decision in China to make him president for life, dictator for life. They actually came out in some of these liberal newspapers and said, if you had the right guy surrounded by the right people and they were educated and they were enlightened and they had the right policies, then president for life wouldn't be that bad of a thing. In other words, as long as it's them running the show, dictator is fine. You just got to know your enemy. And know yourself. Remember that? If you know yourself and know your enemy, you can fight 1,000 battles and never lose. Well, you have to know yourself and know your enemy. And what I'm trying to do is to shed light on who the enemy is and how they think. The enemy is anybody that wants to control you. Period. How many people do you want to control? Personally, I don't give a damn what anybody else does. Just leave me alone. But they don't see life like that, do they? No, they don't. And one final note, I want to end on a good note. If you'll remember, how could we forget? You know, Hillary got caught with 33,000 emails on a private server stored at her home that had been hacked into by foreign powers. And part of those emails, some of those emails, contained not only classified material, but what they call SAP material, special access programs. Now, special access program material is the highest possible classification that we have. It is the most sensitive, most secret information the United States government possesses. And she had it on her private email server, stored at home. And it was hacked. And we all know that Miss Huma Abedin, whose family is in the Muslim Brotherhood, it's a fact, you can look it up, check out her mom and dad. She was backing up these emails and had them stored on her husband, Anthony Weiner's, laptop. And nothing happens. Not one thing happens. But there was a sailor back during the election, a sailor, a young guy. He was stationed aboard a nuclear submarine. He was an enlisted man. And he wanted to send a picture of himself on board the sub to his mom back home. By email. And he took a few pictures of himself, you know, standing in the hallway in the submarine. And he emailed them to his mother. Said, here's a picture of me on board the sub. You know, this is where I live and where I work. He didn't put them on Facebook. Didn't put them on the internet. Sent them to his mom. In the background of one picture, there was a piece of equipment that was classified. And the level of classification of that equipment was the lowest level of classification that we have. It's called confidential. Now, he didn't mean to do this. It was an accident. He didn't realize it was back there. And he didn't realize that it was confidential equipment. He was sentenced to prison. He got put in prison for that one picture. One picture, and he was put in prison while Hillary and Huma walked scot-free for what they did, exposing the most sensitive information the government possesses. Now, while he was in prison, his wife back home was unable to earn enough to pay the bills. And so while he sat in prison, both of the family cars were repossessed, leaving them without a vehicle. And his home went into foreclosure. His life was ruined because when they finally let him out on probation, he is a convicted felon, unable to get a job. Nobody's going to hire a felon. He had no cars and was on the verge of losing his home, being homeless in the street. That's a big difference from serving aboard a nuclear submarine, defending your nation. So he did what he had to do. He took a job on a garbage truck, and he worked double shifts. He worked 70 hours a week on a garbage truck to keep his wife in their home. Well, during the campaign, President Trump mentioned this gentleman and promised to do something about his case if elected. Well, he did. He pardoned the guy. He gave the guy a full and complete pardon this week, wiped his record clean so that he has a fresh start. Chalk one up for the little guy. I don't know of any other president that we've had in the past 50 years that would have done that. Neither of the Bushes would have done that. Clinton wouldn't have done it. Obama certainly wouldn't have done it. And President Hillary certainly wouldn't have done it. But Mr. Trump did. He kept his word. He wiped the guy's record clean, gave him a fresh start. There's hope, gentlemen. As long as you're alive, there is hope. Steel your gaze, gird your loins, put food in your mouth yourself. Take care of those around you. And know who you're up against. Don't back down. Thank you for listening, and have a good evening.